Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Sound is a powerful medium. Simply by engaging the aural sense, atmosphere, mood, even imagery from distant lands can be invoked in the mind of a listener. Our guest today, sound designer David Lamont Wilson, is expert at adding an auditory layer of depth to live performance. His latest work can be experienced on stage at Everyman Theater in Queen's Girl in the World and Queen's Girl in Africa by playwright Colleen Sinette Jennings, two plays in repertory through June 23rd. He's recreated soundscapes that range from open markets in Lagos, Nigeria, to the rocking rhythm of a New York City subway. Welcome to On the Record, David.
Thank you for having me.
These are both one-woman shows. Give us an overview of what the plays are about.
Both plays take you through the journey of one central character. Her name is Jacqueline Marie. She is an autobiographical character of the playwright Colleen Sinette Jennings. And it takes you through her journey from when she lived in Queens, New York as a young woman to when her parents took her from Queens to Africa, where she also went to school during her middle school years.
Sounds really interesting. What is your role as a sound designer?
A sound designer is the person who puts all of the sounds that you hear, whether it's music, whether it's sound effects, whether it's soundscape, to any play that you see in the theater. And I had the great fortune of being the sound designer for both of these shows, in that Colleen Sinette Jennings, the playwright, really writes her plays with music in mind. So I was able to create a soundtrack for both of these shows, not just a soundscape.
Soundtrack versus soundscape. Explain the difference to me.
So a soundscape would be environmental sounds, like say you're outside in a particular scene on stage. You might hear birds. You may hear street noise. You may hear a plane go across the sky. That would be a soundscape. A soundtrack is when you get to incorporate music. Music is transitioned from one scene to the other, or music as a character is talking or thinking about that particular music. And so I got to do both with both of these plays, soundscape and soundtrack.
And you literally went to great lengths to gather some of the sound used in Queen's Girl in Africa. Tell us about that.
When I first was the sound designer for Queen's Girl in Africa, maybe a year and a half ago in Washington, D.C., I was actually so inspired about the journey of the character and going through all of these places in Africa that I actually decided to go just on my own personally. Then after I had decided to make a personal trip to all of these places that the character actually went to, then I found out that Everyman Theater was remounting the show. And so I thought to myself, what a great opportunity, since I'm already going to be going to these places and the play is going to be done again, why not get some authentic sounds while I'm actually in the actual place?
I get that it was sort of a busman's holiday for you to do that, but I'd like to understand better why you were so inspired by this character's journey that you wanted to do it yourself.
Well, personally, as an African-American man, and recently finding out that some of my roots date back to West Africa, and so after finding out that my roots were in places like Nigeria and places like Ghana, that was the impetus for wanting to go. And then just seeing the play as a, not as a sound designer, but just as a theater goer, the journey that Jacqueline Marie takes in the play was kind of the same personal journey that I wanted to take myself. Because her journey is all about her discovery. And so, because I personally wanted to do that, that's that's what inspired me to go.
We have a clip of sound you collected from a market in Lagos, Nigeria. Let's listen. How did you capture this sound, and why was the sound you wanted to capture?
So, in the play, there's several references to the ports of Nigeria or the markets of Nigeria, because those are the central gathering places for the people. And because she references those places within the play so many, many times, I thought, hey, since I'm here, let me capture those sounds. I would have, in a normal situation, would have used a lot of big high-tech equipment to record the sound. But when you're in West Africa, especially in common marketplaces and you're a foreigner, it's probably frowned upon that you're capturing and recording people. So that's why I chose to use my phone with a very powerful sound app, so I wouldn't be as obvious and I wouldn't be seen as being obtrusive.
That's sound designer David Lamont Wilson here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his work on two shows currently in repertory at Everyman Theater, Queen's Girl in the World and Queen's Girl in Africa. The rich use of sound in the shows, is that your personal expression or is it direction that Jennings wrote into the script?
It's a combination of both. She definitely references things like rich 1960s high life music, which is what I would imagine those are the sounds that she heard when she was actually there as a young woman. But the selection of the particular songs of that era or the particular artists of that era was up to my creative choices. And of course, she blessed the music that I selected and the artists that I chose to use, but I had the freedom to figure out and select what I thought might be right for the scenes.
Let's listen to another clip. This is some of the music that you used. What is the genre of this music?
So Nigerian high life music, especially in the 1960s, which is what time period the play takes place, was the most popular music of Nigeria at the time. I often say when people ask me to describe what Nigerian high life music is, I often say that we know the 1960s here in the United States was kind of dominated by rock and roll and Motown. Well, Nigerian high life is probably the equivalent of Motown, but in Nigeria. And the artist is called Bright Chimezi, and he was one of the more popular artists of Nigeria during the 1960s.
So why did you think it was important to include that?
Because I think all of us, or at least most of us, when we are reliving our past, even in our present, most of us have music that we associate with events and activities and definitely milestones in our life. And because a part of Jacqueline's journey in the play is reliving milestones or major events, she's attached music or sounds to those events, and Nigerian high life is one of those things that she remembers as she's retelling her story.
What kind of reaction, if any, have you picked up from audiences to the music and sounds in these plays?
I can attest to being in the audience a couple of times where you actually did have West African audience members there, and a lot of West African audience members who were around in the 1960s in Nigeria and Ghana. And some of them have come up to me and said, oh, I recognize that, or, oh, I know who that artist is. So I am glad that the authenticity of the music is shining through, and those members who know the music enjoy it.
Is that sound you gathered while you were in West Africa, or did you get that from another source?
I actually did some research well before I had taken the trip to Nigeria, and had discovered him and so many other Nigerian highlife artists beforehand. But once I was there in Nigeria, I had played some of the music with some of the locals that I had met and asked them about the artists, who, of course, they confirmed knowing, and asked them about some of the selections, and they were pleasantly pleased that, one, that I knew about the artists and the music and could testify to the selections that I had chosen. If I got the stamp of approval from the actual Nigerians, I was doing something good.
David, thank you so much. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Sound designer David Lamont Wilson, who created the soundscapes and soundtrack for Everyman Theater's two shows in repertory, Queen's Girl in the World and Queen's Girl in Africa, by playwright Kalene Sinet Jennings. They run through June 23rd. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Now, a brief break on the record and then a Stoop story. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!